Bulimia sucks, but you don't, and here's why. The Bulimia Sucks podcast with Kate Hudson Hall will teach you how to begin breaking through the multitude of thoughts, feelings, triggers, and urges to empower yourself to change your painful behaviors completely. You will hear proven strategies and solutions to help you in your recovery, including real interviews with real people. Kate has just released a new best-selling book called Anxiety Hacks, with proven techniques, tools, and tips to calmness. Check it out now on Amazon. And now, another episode of Bulimia Sucks, the podcast.
Hello, my name is Kate Hudson Hall, and thank you for listening to Bulimia Sucks, because I think many of us know that it does. So this is a platform for people to share relatable, uplifting, and inspiring conversations based on bulimia and anorexia and other eating disorders, and their victories and challenges, because these are real stories from people who are suffering or have suffered an eating disorder. So episodes will include their own personal stories of where they are now and their difficult journeys and their steps taken into their recovery, and also to professionals who work with people with an eating disorder. Now, I'm very excited to welcome our guest today. And our guest today is Kevin. Now, I can't really pronounce his surname, so he may have to update us with that, but I'll give it a go. So it's Bircher. Anyway, he'll update us with that. So he's dealt with multiple eating disorders, Kevin, and this was in his 20s before he developed his own method of overcoming them. And he now teaches this method to other people, and it's called the Empowered Eating System. And he teaches to students and young professionals, athletes, and men also to help them to eat right anytime and anywhere. And Kevin is also a physical therapist, and he is a YouTuber. So welcome, Kevin. Thank you so much for joining us. It's very exciting to have you on. Now, please, please put me right with your surname. I couldn't pronounce it.
It's a Basque name. So it comes from northern Spain. It's Bursiaga.
Oh, Bursiaga. Oh, yeah.
People always want to say Bircher as if it's Italian, but it's not Italian. It's Basque.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. It's unusual.
Yes. So good. So now, Kevin, tell us now, have you got a funny story for us to begin with?
I do.
Oh, I love it.
I was in an airport. This is about 10 years ago. And I think I was sitting cross-legged, or I was sitting funny for an extended period of time. And then I got up and I realized I didn't have any sensation in my feet. And so I lost my balance. I stumbled and I fell straight on my back in the middle of the airport corridor. And I'm just like lying there, and I have no strength in my legs. And some guy takes his arms, puts them under my arms and drags me off the corridor. And all eyes on me. It was rather embarrassing event. I was okay. You know, my blood came back to my legs, but
Oh, thank gosh.
A little humiliating. Yeah.
Oh, that's really funny.
Being dragged off the corridor. So silly.
Oh, dear, that's a good one. I love that. So now, as I mentioned earlier, so you had a number of different eating disorders. So how did that develop, and what happened for you?
I was okay until I was about 20 years old when I was in college. And for whatever reason, I got really interested in fitness, nutrition, health. Nobody in my family was, so I don't know where this interest came from. But I started working at Whole Foods Market and started reading books and magazines, and fitness became like this obsession of mine. It started out well. I cut out some of the processed foods in my diet and I started eating healthier, but pretty soon things, there were signs of trouble. And I remember there was this bleeding in my eye, which to this day, I still don't know still don't know what that was. But I started feeling weaker. I was anemic. I was losing muscle mass, had no sex drive. I mean, all the signs were there.
Yeah.
You know, that something was wrong. And I remember one night I was working alone in the back cleaning up, and we had all of this old fruit that nobody wanted to buy. And I remember just gorging on it. You know, that was the first episode I ever had of just like binging. But I was only working there a couple days a week. I would go home. I would feel guilty, feel bad about it, but then I would forget about it, you know, the rest of the week. So at this point I'm orthorexic. You know, I'm just like very rigid, underweight, didn't think anything was wrong. And then about a couple of years after that, I got the good idea to chew really tasty food and then spit it out because I didn't want to swallow it. So I said, hey, this is fun. You know, I can get all this tasty food without swallowing it, without any of the weight gain. You know, it's kind of like have your cake and eat it too. So I started chewing and spitting. This just became this daily habit, you know, once, twice, three times a day. And I did that for a couple of years, and then that progressed into binging and restricting. So I would overeat or binge, and then I would go 2 or 3 days without eating, and then repeat the cycle over and over. Eventually that just became binge eating, and it turned into a chronic problem. I also did some purging, whether I forced myself to vomit or if I couldn't do that, I would go to the gym for several hours or use laxatives or diuretics or whatever made me feel better, you know, whatever I could do. So that became a chronic problem till my early 30s. So we're talking about like a 10 or 11 year span.
Wow. Yeah. And how long was it so severe for?
Let's say I started chewing and spitting. I would say about 10 years.
Right.
Yeah. You know, from the time I started chewing and spitting into my last episode of binge eating. Yes. 10 years. Never thought it would last that long. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly wasn't my intention, but that's how it happened.
Yeah. So you remember that last time when you binged?
I think I remember the last time, but there was no parade. You know. It's not like confetti came down. I definitely remember the first time I chewed and spit out my food. I don't exactly remember when that last time was.
Right.
I know what time period it was, but it wasn't like, yay, it's over. You know, you don't really know it's over until, you know, much later.
How do you know it's over? I mean, you know, what were the signs that confirmed to you that it was over?
I could have food in the home. I could eat a little bit of processed food without binging on it. I didn't have the obsessive thoughts. I wasn't paying attention to it all day. You know, my weight normalized. My mood improved, sleep improved. I mean, there's a lot of mental and physical signs that you were recovered. It's never that you're never 100% sure. I mean, as long as you have free will, you could always revert to that behavior. But over time, that probability should reach zero or get very close to zero.
Yeah. And so what do you feel was that the turning point for you?
Well, when I realized that I had been doing this for 10 years and there wasn't anything magical about 10 years, but I had to be honest with myself. It's like, how long do I want to do this? How many times have I told myself that I'm going to stop this? If not now, when? I mean, I had everything I wanted in life. You know, I had independence, I had decent job, income, youth. It's like, what other excuse do I have here? Like, what's my cop out here? So I had to be very honest with myself. I had to have a heart to heart with myself. It's like, what do I really want? You know, where is this going? How many times am I going to do this? How many times do I need to experience this? So that was a turning point for me. That wasn't everything I needed to do. It's not like I woke up and said, okay, never again. You know, it's not an overnight transition. But when I started to confront my excuses and the reasons I was giving myself to behave this way.
And then what did you do?
Focused on gradual change.
And how did you do that?
I looked at all my habits in a day. I looked at my daily routine and I thought, what's something that I'm doing right? You know, what's something I can do right? And I realized that this was not going to be a one-day transition. And I realized that I could not wait until this arbitrary date and then everything would change in one night. That's just not how change happens. And I that's for 10 years, I thought that I could just change on a dime and never do it again. But then I thought, okay, this is going to be something that's going to take weeks, if not months, to resolve. So what can I do to make a little bit of change today, tomorrow, today?
Yeah.
You know, whereas before I was like, I'll make all the changes in one day, just not today. Yeah. It was always tomorrow.
Yeah. I'll change it all tomorrow.
Yeah, right. And it never worked. And it took me 10 years to figure that out. And I had to do something as trivial as it was today. That was the key today.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point. People can learn from that. It's rather than looking at that big picture and I'll change it all tomorrow. It's like, breaking down that big picture and thinking, okay, so what little tiny, even minuscule thing can I do that's positive that is going to help me towards my bigger goal?
You're better off making a really insignificant change today than promising to make a very big change tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, the former is way more effective.
Yeah. And so what do you feel was the hardest part about that whole 10 years for you?
Just repeating the cycle over and over. Yeah. It's really devastating because I kept saying that I was going to overcome this. And when I achieved this, then I would stop. When I had this, then I would stop. And just all the broken promises. And over time, you get jaded. It's like, wait, I said I was going to stop then, and I'm still doing it. I said I was going to stop then, and I'm still doing that. You know, you lose enthusiasm over a while. It's like, okay, it's another year. It's another semester. It's another contract, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you start to lose hope. I never lost all my hope, obviously. But when you've been doing this for 7, 8, 9, 10 years, it's hard to be positive and enthusiastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And 10 years is short compared to some of the stories that I've heard.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some people who have been doing this.
I had it for 15 years, but some people still 30 years.
I mean, yeah, I can't imagine being like 50 or 60 years old and still dealing with this. And gosh, I mean, what a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really hard. So when you think about when it first started, so Kevin, if you could turn back the clock, what would you tell your that younger you? What would you tell yourself that maybe would help you to steer clear from going down that path?
I would tell younger Kevin a lot of things. One, avoid the extremes. Okay. Don't make tons of changes all at once. Three, you have good intentions, but your execution is off. Okay. And I had this fear of being inadequate. I think that was a big part of the problem.
Yeah.
Feelings of inadequacy, insecurity, immaturity, social isolation. And it's not a coincidence that it happened when I was 20. You know, that's a very vulnerable time of your life.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these behaviors start between 17, 23.
Yeah.
You know, that there's a reason for that. And, you know, I'm sure you know why, but, yeah, I would say, listen, you want to be healthy, you want to do triathlons, you want to adopt a plant food, like a whole foods diet, great. You can do that. But there is a proper way to do this. And the way you're doing it is not the correct way. You know, cutting out entire food groups is not the correct way. Going cold turkey is not the right way. You need to have a plan here. And you also need to pay attention to feedback. Like, what feedback are you getting? And it was obvious very early, within 4 or 5 months, that I was not on the right path, that I was not being healthy. And I was just in denial. So I guess I am, you know, I'm eating all these fruits and vegetables and blah, 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 blah. And I was deluding myself. So those are some of the things I would tell Kevin at age 21.
Yeah. So to pay more attention to what your pattern, the pattern that you've got into, and understand that that isn't the right pathway to go down.
No, it's not. And I didn't know it was the wrong pathway, but the signs were there. And that's what I was ignoring. So pay attention. You know, I mean, people are telling you, your lab work is telling you, your doctors are telling you, it's like, what other evidence do you need? You know, and health is a lot more than weighing less and running faster. No, I have a much more holistic understanding of health than I did then. It's not just diet. It's not just weight.
Okay. What advice would you give somebody with an eating disorder?
I would say start small, but start now. You know, don't put off recovery. Mm-hmm. You only get one life. You know, today is the only day. The day we're recording this is the only time that this day will exist. Okay. It's not coming back. Don't be flippant about time. You don't know how much time you have. So what if today were the last day? Would this be the way you wanted to end it? You know, I don't think so. So start making some changes now. And like I said, it doesn't have to be everything. You don't have to completely overhaul everything. Like, even if it's not eating related, like, can you create a new habit today, as insignificant as it is? Okay, great. That's progress. Tomorrow, do the same thing. Then do the same thing. Do the same thing. I mean, understand the compound effect. You know, small actions over time lead to a very big change. You're not going to see it today. You're not going to see it at the end of the week. But in a year, you know, don't underestimate the change you can make in a year.
Yeah. And it's taking it week by week, isn't it?
Week by week. Yeah. Month by month. And look at the progress that you've made. You know, look back in a week or in a month and look at the changes that you've made. That should motivate you. It's just when you're at the depth, you know, the trough, whatever, it's really easy to just revert to your old behaviors. Because if you start making that change and you start denying yourself the, you know, the escape and the pleasure that bulimia provide, it's like you have neither. You have neither the benefits of the new habits nor the benefits of the bulimia. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so hard to start, but you've got to start somewhere.
Absolutely. It's looking at what those benefits are, unconscious, conscious benefits that you get from having your eating disorder, and thinking about, okay, well, how maybe could I change those? What other ways could I get those benefits? But it's identifying specifically what they are.
And then, yeah, people wouldn't keep doing it if it had no benefit.
Yeah. I mean, so it's replacing those benefits, finding other ways to be able to gain that relief.
Yeah.
Or whatever it may be for you.
Yeah. And as you also need to accept that you won't have that rush of fat and sugar. I mean, that's usually what people tend to binge on.
Yeah.
They don't tend to binge on iceberg lettuce. at least I didn't. But
no.
Learning to accept that, you know, you're not going to have that 30-minute escape anymore. And that's okay. You know, you can live a very happy, healthy, fulfilling life without it.
And but I think that's really positive for people to hear that it is okay. And that you will be okay without that.
You'll be better
without
it. But when you're doing it like every day and it becomes like this new normal, it's hard to believe that. It's hard to remember that you lived a period of your life without it and you didn't think about it. But now it's just, you're so used to it. It's become this crutch. I think that's what holds people back is, well, how am I going to deal with life without it?
Yeah.
You know, and I get that, you know, it's challenging, but there are ways, you know, and when in the beginning of that recovery process, it might be uncomfortable because you don't have that familiar, reliable crutch anymore. But with time, you don't miss it.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, hearing that there is a life after an eating disorder and we're both proof of it and that you can do it, that people can do it. may not be so easy, but it is possible.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, you recovered, I recovered, other people have recovered.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not always fun in games. You know, it's not always glamorous. A lot of it is, you know, the psychological work. There are ups and downs. You'll have relapses, can be frustrating. Sometimes it feels like you're not making progress. Sometimes you make, you know, progress in these great leaps, you know, and you go like days and days, maybe even weeks without progress. And then it's like, boom, you have this breakthrough. But you have to have confidence in that, and you have to keep going, even when you're not seeing the results that you want.
Yeah, as quickly as maybe you want.
Yeah, and that's when relapse, I think, is really high, because you know you're doing the work and you're trying to get better, and you feel like you're not. But you have to have faith that if you keep going, that you will cross the finish line.
Yeah, yeah. And so, what help did you have through your recovery?
Not very much. And maybe that was a problem. Nobody knew about it. Didn't tell anybody. Certainly didn't tell my family. I never sought formal therapy, because then I would have to tell my family about that. Yeah. I mean, I would go online and maybe watch some videos and read some books, but pretty much I was on my own. Looking back, I don't know if that was the right path, but I wanted it to be a secret, and I was always confident that I was going to recover tomorrow. You know, why would I tell anybody? I'm going to recover tomorrow anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, it went on for years and years and years, and I didn't have much of a social circle, never did. So that could have been the problem too. You know, too much time alone.
So that's fantastic that you sort of virtually did it on your own.
Yes, but with a lot of frustration and struggle.
Yeah, that, you know, amazing. Amazing.
And, you know, I had to reach age, 32, 33, you know, to reach that point, and had to fail a lot, had to take a lot of blows. And now, I'm sorry it took me so long to understand these concepts and understand what I've shared on this episode, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And had I done it again, I probably could have recovered a lot sooner.
But now you help others overcome their eating disorder.
Yeah, and I like working with millennials and Gen Z, you know, people who are in their early 20s, because I don't want them to do what I did. I don't want them to be 30 years old and still dealing with this.
Yeah.
You know, it's, in some ways, I feel like I'm coaching a younger version of me. It's like, well, maybe there was purpose in my struggle, you know? And so if I'm helping somebody who's 24, if I'm helping somebody who's 24, 25, and I can save them years of misery, then maybe my struggle is worth it.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Gosh. Yeah. So, Kevin, so tell us about the empowered eating system, which is what you teach, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 3 months and 6 modules, and I've taken everything that I learned on my own and through books and through my own experience, and I've condensed it all into those modules. You know, I'm not going to teach everybody. I'm not going to teach them everything I know, because they don't need to know that. It's like, what are the essentials here? What are the specific steps that you need to take here?
Yeah.
You know, how can you go from a hopeless bulimic to somebody who has control over what they eat in 12 weeks? Full control, you know, depends on the person, but can we make significant progress in those 3 months, 13 weeks, I should say.
And how specifically would you, you know, so what are some of the steps that you take them through to be able to guide them along there?
Yeah, in the beginning, I want them to take inventory. So how frequently, when are you doing this? What time of the day, which foods, how much are you spending on this? You know, what is the situation? You know, take assessment. You know, they teach this in emergency courses. Like whenever you're at the scene of an accident, you assess the situation, right? Like, is there a fire? Are there bodies on the ground? Is there shattered glass? Like, okay, let's assess it first. And then, okay, what's the first step here?
Yeah.
Which is another thing they teach in emergency courses. It's like, okay, you do this, you check for responsiveness, you dial EMS, you know, 911 here in the States. And then you call for help. Like it's a very logical sequence of things. And it's like, okay, just focus on that next step. Don't focus on the entire thing here. It's like, what can you do today and this week to get the ball moving, to generate momentum? Because a lot of bulimics, binge eaters, they don't have any momentum.
Yeah.
The momentum is against them. And so how can you call a timeout and reclaim that momentum? How can you start making a little bit of progress now? How can you give yourself hope right now?
Yeah. And then what are some other things that you would help them work?
Teaching them to make small habits. I want to show them that they can make a new habit if they declare it. And we talked about trivial habits, and I hate to use the word trivial, but it's the same process. It's like, this is a change I want to make. This is what I want to do. And I'm going to start practicing it.
Yeah.
Can you wake up at the same time? Can you not look at your phone for 30 minutes? Are there ways that you can optimize your day? Even if it's not related to food, it still counts.
Yeah.
So I like to focus on that early. It's okay. If you can make a small habit, then you can start making these big changes in your life.
Yeah.
But, you know, start small and go big.
Yeah. They sort of sometimes need confirmation that they can change a habit that's not related to food or to their eating disorder. So to have that confirmation that, oh, I can.
Yeah. And it gives them confidence that they can win.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I did it. Okay, great. Like, let's go to the next level.
Yeah.
It's almost like a tournament, you know. You have quarterfinals and semifinals and then championship. It's to make an analogy.
Yeah. And what would you say to somebody that has an eating disorder that in order for them to sort of move closer to making that commitment of stepping onto that recovery path?
I would say don't wait.
Yeah.
You only have so much time. And I know it seems daunting, but don't focus on the whole thing. That's what I did. I focused on the entire, like, quitting in one day and like all of these changes I needed to make. Like, no, you have today. Today is a gift. Tomorrow is not guaranteed, right? I mean, you could have a heart attack in the middle of the night. There you go.
Yeah.
Probably not. You know, I hope not. But
hope not.
you're here right now. Like, what can you do? Can you have an apple? If you're not already having an apple in the morning, you know, do that. Just focus, pretend like you have a block of ice, you know, and you have to create a sculpture and start chipping a little bit each day. If you do that for 3 months, you'll probably have a sculpture, but you're not going to have a sculpture today. And that's a problem we have in the modern environment, the modern world, where we put something in the microwave and it's done in 3 minutes. If we want an answer to something, we go to Google, we get an answer in a tenth of a second. You know, everything is so instant anymore. And I think we've lost the art of showing up. You know, you have to show up each day. Meaning you have to do the work every day. And sometimes it might seem mundane and you're not seeing a lot of progress, but I mentioned the compound effect. It's a little bit of progress every day adds up to a lot of progress over time. And it's not a microwave meal. You know,
this I think is you're right. We're so used to having things kind of so much more instantly.
It's the microwave age.
You know, we want that change now.
Yeah, we've
a process.
We have a lot more instant gratification, we've lost that investor mentality in a way where we want everything done now, you know, now, yesterday. We don't know how to wait for anything anymore.
Yeah. So Kevin, so where can listeners find you online?
Go to my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is The Rational Eater. Just type that in, you'll find me.
And tell us about the YouTube channel.
I have videos on recovery, and you can learn a lot about my philosophy in those videos. And then I've recently started live streams. So I'm looking at all of the eating disorder stories that I've watched over the last couple of years, and now I'm starting to provide my own commentary. So those are fun. I usually do those on Sunday night in the States.
Right.
So if you're in the UK, you'll probably be asleep. You can watch the replay.
Watch the replay. Yeah. And you said that you've got 150 videos?
About 150 over the last 2 years.
Yeah. And so I would recommend people to watch those because they are very interesting, and you can learn a lot from watching Kevin's videos. They're excellent.
Yeah, so, you can binge on my videos.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
And so do you have a website?
KevinBurciaga.com. That's probably the best.
Okay.
The best website to look at.
Yeah. Okay, good. So we'll post all those links below so people can find you. Okay. Is there anything else that you would like to add? Like to say to the listeners?
If you're struggling, you can do this.
Yeah.
But you need to take advantage of today.
Yeah. Okay?
Don't waste today. I wasted too many todays. You know, and now I'm too old to waste today anymore.
Yeah.
So don't waste it. You woke up, it was given to you. What are you going to do with it?
I love that. Yeah. Okay, good. Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us here today and sharing your journey and all your advice.
Thank you, Kate.
Yeah. No, it's great to have you on the show. So thank you. So that's all for today's episode of Bulimia Sucks. And thank you for listening. And of course, thank you to Kevin for sharing his journey. And join us again on the next episode of Bulimia Sucks. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple iTunes so you never miss an episode. And plus, if you haven't heard about it already, check out my book, Bulimia Sucks, on Amazon to learn many different techniques to help you to begin to break through your painful bulimic behaviors. And also now the Bulimia Sucks Personal Food Journal is live on Amazon. So check that out for extra support to help you in your journey. And thank you so much for listening to us. And before we go, let us know what you think and show some love for our favorite podcast by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify or Google Podcasts or wherever you listen. And make sure you come and join our Facebook group, and where it's great to connect with others and maybe learn from other people in there. So thanks for listening, and I look forward to chatting with you in the next episode.
Bulimia Sucks, but you don't. Kate has just released a new best-selling book called Anxiety Hacks, with proven techniques, tools, and tips to calm this. Check it out now on Amazon.